Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to our show tonight. I'm your host, Doris Hansen, the host for Polygamy, What Love Is This? And we'd like to welcome you all to the show tonight. Last week's show was our guest, Kay Brown, and we talked about the trial and the conviction of Warren Jeffs. And we had some responses, some good and some not so good responses from that show. But a gentleman by the name of Wayne suggested that I repent on account of an error that I made last week. He said that I got on a roll and that I erroneously stated that the Book of Mormon doesn't mention temples. And it does. And yes, sir, indeed, it does. He suggested that I make my correction publicly before they send the priesthood after me, which scared me so badly I promised to repent in dust and ashes, which I am now doing. I apologize profusely for my error, and I do want to thank Wayne for gently and respectfully bringing my error to my attention. Last year, the Adams Road Band performed their first annual benefit concert for our ministry as Shield and Refuge. The Adams Road Band has again graciously offered to perform a second annual benefit concert for us, and it's going to be held on Friday, September 9th at Mill Creek Church. And the address is 1515 East, 4500 South in the Holiday area of Salt Lake City, beginning at 7 p.m. And the admission is totally free, but donations to our ministry, of course, will be accepted. So please come, invite some friends, relatives, or neighbors, and bring them along with you. And the night before the benefit performance, the Adams Road Band will be our guests on Polygamy, What Love Is This, like they were last year. And you may want to put that on your calendar, write it down, write down some questions that you may have to call in for them that night. We look forward to that. Again, they were very good on our show. Tonight's guest is a man who has studied and experienced the Mormon-based faith possibilities of this culture, and he found them to fall far short of biblical truths. In his frustration, he began to search, and true to God's word, where he promises that if we will ask and seek truthfully from our heart, wanting the truth no matter what it is, that we will find the truth. Our guest did that, and he found the truth in biblical Christianity. So I'd like to introduce Tom Johnson, who is here to tell the story of his journey to the truth. Welcome to our show, Tom.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
In fact, you were referred to me by one of the members of the Adams Road Band.
That's right, Stephan Dennis.
Yeah. He suggested I call you, and of course we met and talked, and I thank you for agreeing to come on the show and tell your story.
My pleasure.
It's a very interesting story. And a couple of days ago, I sent you an email with, and I had quoted Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, where it says that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Right.
And somehow our testimony is spiritually powerful. I don't know quite how that works, but it does. But first of all, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And of course, the blood of the Lamb is talking about Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for our sins, and his blood washes all of our sins away. So first of all, we have to come to the cross, and then after that, we tell our story, and our story is our journey to the truths of Jesus Christ, and that is one way that God uses to bring others to the truth, and we hope to do that tonight. Now, these testimonies that we have on our show, they're not canned, they're not cloned, they're not memorized testimonies that we were indoctrinated with from the cradle, but our testimonies, these are personal, unique stories of finding and accepting God's truths into our lives and the difference that it makes in our lives. So Tom has a personal story, a personal testimony of his journey that he's going to share with us tonight. So you were born and raised in the LDS Church?
That's right. I have an awesome family. great parents and two amazing brothers. I'm right in the middle. Uh-huh. And all of us grew up in the LDS faith, and I went through all the steps through the priesthood levels and all the way.
You were happy in it? You were successful,
I was, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Your story, you wrote a story and about your journey. Mm-hmm. Actually, two things that you sent to me, your story and then a letter that you had sent to your family. But in your story, you wrote, and I'd like to quote a little bit of what you wrote. You said, "I was introduced to the Mormon fundamentalist beliefs about 10 years ago. They believed that the LDS Church went astray after the fourth prophet of the church, Wilford Woodruff, signed a manifesto, which declared that the LDS Church no longer would practice polygamy. This was the dividing line. To this day, both the fundamentalists and the modern Mormons believe they each have the truth." Now, they don't believe that they both have the truth, but they exclusively
each, yes.
believe it.
Yeah.
"But through this introduction to the fundamentalist beliefs, I realized for the first time that the Mormon church I had known and grew up in had changed drastically from its origins." What difference did you discover between today's Mormonism and Joseph Smith's Mormonism?
I don't think we have enough time to cover all that. There's just every topic that you can think of there's some differences. I may be jumping ahead, but my brother had learned about polygamy. I knew nothing about it. I was in my mid-30s. Heard of polygamists, but knew nothing about them. And he calls me up one night and says, "You've got to listen to this, and you've got to do some studying." And so I started studying some of the fundamental or the church history, mm-hmm. and lo and behold, that there was a lot of differences.
You found out you weren't living true Mormonism, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Did it
Thank
shock
goodness.
You? What was your first reaction? And what was your decision that led you to lead up to joining the fundamentalists?
It was actually kind of a long process. I would read the Doctrine and Covenants, and I'm reading early church history. One night I remember just telling my wife, I says, this is either true or this guy Joseph Smith is going to hell. And I was mad, and I threw the Doctrine and Covenants across the room because it just didn't make sense to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But it was ingrained in me that it was the truth. So, back I went, and we moved down to Arizona where my brother was, and just being around him and just reading a lot kind of got me thinking, and I finally decided that, it's black and white. It makes sense that.
So your right. brother had joined. He researched and did he join the fundamentalists?
Yes,
is that
he
what
did.
Happened?
Mm-hmm.
So you followed him down there with where they were, and
mm-hmm.
and he persuaded you to join.
I don't think he persuaded me. I think the facts, at that point that I had made sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at quotes from the prophets themselves,
mm-hmm.
Saying that polygamy is the eternal, celestial law.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you don't live polygamy, you're damned, and all that other beautiful
yeah,
stuff we
lots
learned
of
while
good
we
stuff.
Were growing up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, this was, when you say you went down to Arizona, this is not the FLDS, though, is it?
No, this is just a little splinter group. I won't give details on where, but it's just a group of a few families.
Just a few families.
Mm-hmm.
And did you move your family down there with you?
Actually, yeah, we, funny, it's not funny, but eventually, eventually we actually moved out to the area where they were. My brother owns, fair amount of acreage out there, and really close to where their church is and where most of them live. And we went out there and lived without power, without water, running water.
Really fundamentalist there.
And it was actually pretty. I look back at how my wife put up with it. I don't know, but anyway, yeah. So we were right there in the thick of it.
And a question that I would like to ask you is, while you were there, did they require, like most fundamentalist groups require, your tithing? They require that you consecrate all your property to them and it belongs to them. They have a prophet who gives you all kinds of revelations or words from God. Did all this happen in this little group?
Not really, no. They didn't claim to have a prophet or head, although there was one guy that was considered an apostle that was the leader, but it was said to give tithing to him, but it wasn't like a commandment. It wasn't really directed like it had been.
Do or die
was
used
kind of
to, thing.
You know,
yeah.
Paying the tithe.
So did you work? Were you working? Did the group have businesses? Did you work inside the group, or did you just have your own job and do your own?
I actually had my own business. I was in construction, and so we were able to pick up some jobs in the area.
Uh-huh.
And actually, some of those guys actually did work for me for a while.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We did work together. But
yeah. Did you live polygamy? Did you pick up on that for
no.
a wife thing?
No. I believed it.
You believed it.
But I had not got to that point yet where...
Yeah. And how did your wife, if you don't want to answer this question, that's fine, you know, to mm-hmm. protect her. But how did she feel about polygamy? Was that something she really, you know, didn't quite like to think
no,
about
No, she didn't
doing?
Like it. Bless her heart, she actually put up with me while I was learning all this. And she was studying herself to see if it really could be true. I don't know if
she
actually...
Did she come up with the same answers that you did when she was doing her studying?
No. No. She was smart.
You know, I've always wondered this. If God really wanted polygamy, why did he not tell Emma? Why did he just tell Joseph?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, and so that's an interesting question that your wife... didn't like what she was studying, and I think that's a clue, a really good clue.
Yeah, I was just a slow learner.
Yeah. Well, you know, you. How long were you in the group? How long were you with them?
Probably. Well, we lived there only about 4 months, but we were going to church with them on Sundays. Before that, and then, I'd say close to a year that we were in contact and that we knew him and all that.
Is your brother still in the group? Is he still there?
To be honest, I don't know. He actually got a little mixed up, even in worse off in theology than that. Dated some girls and kind of got added their, I don't know if it was Buddhist or Hindu or what kind of theology incorporated in it. But the good news is talking to him on the phone just about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, he actually came to the Lord.
Praise God.
So,
praise
yeah.
the Lord for that. It's good to see him come out from following all these odd things and finding the truth. It's such a blessing. So you joined the group and then you decided that you didn't want to remain in the group anymore. What happened? Tell us what happened at that point.
Well, my wife decided that we didn't want to be in the group anymore. She she had had enough and she packed up the car and said, I'm going back to Utah where her mom was, still lives. And...
So her family was LDS.
Yes.
Your family was LDS.
Yes.
Okay.
And we were kind of, my older brother and I were kind of outcasts, I guess, at that point. Not really outcasts, but just the black sheep,
just doing different things.
We were doing different things. And So she had had enough and packed up the car and left, and I just sat there and watched her leave because I believed it. Mm-hmm. And, what was it, a day or maybe 2 days later, she calls me and talked me into just coming up to Utah just for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, reluctantly. I drove up here. And
And did they have a problem with you leaving? Did they try to keep you to stay down there, or did they try to keep her to stay there, or did they just let you go?
They didn't know she was leaving. I mean, this just kind of happened, and, you know, we were on our, you know, at our house, and, you know, it's...
Uh-huh.
They did try talking me into staying. They said, if you leave, then you'll probably never come back, which was true.
There's a clue.
Yeah, there's a clue. So I drove up to Utah, and we stayed at her parents' house for a few days, and you know, her mom, Serena's mom, was really amazing, and she would let me talk and explain my point of view, and she would listen. And so we were talking one night, and I just felt that, you know what, this is crazy trying to figure all this out, because I've been praying for years, literally years, which was right.
Mm-hmm.
And I just asked for a priesthood blessing. And so we got two people together, and they gave me this priesthood blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, I was told to come back to Zion, meaning here in Utah, to leave that group, and just to get back basically as soon as I could. And to be honest, it was pretty overpowering.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most emotional, overpowering thing that I've actually ever gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that was an answer to prayer. That was, I've got to do it. So we drove back to Arizona. I had some contracts. I was a contractor. I had some contracts I had to finish.
Mm-hmm.
We did that. Lasted about 7 months. But we did leave the group.
You lived independent of the group at that
right,
point.
Right, yeah. And so we finished that up and then moved back up here to Utah.
What about the Mormon scriptures that you had followed that require polygamy for eternal life? What did you do with those? Did that bother you at that point? And how did you determine that they were false and not binding to you?
I never did.
You never thought they were binding to you?
No, I did. I mean, I never got over it.
Oh.
It was an internal conflict the whole
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that overrode that was this blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to put it away. And I was putting my everything in this emotional
mm-hmm. And feelings, time. Really, emotions are not the barometer for truth, right?
I know that now. Yes, they're not.
So you went back to the Mormon church. Did they put you through the motions of a repenting process, or what? How did they accept you back?
Actually, I was very surprised. They did accept me back without too much. You know, they didn't put me in a disciplined situation. They just they waited a year before I could go to the temple, but they didn't disfellowship me or anything.
So you
like
didn't
that.
Have to be rebaptized. You
no.
didn't have to. Sometimes when if somebody in the LDS church has done some bad thing, they'll put them through what they call the repentance process,
right.
and they'll have
right.
to do this and this, and they'll have to read a book called Miracle of Forgiveness and all that. Did you have to do any of that then?
No.
Wow.
Because I was
you know,
expecting
I've read the bishop's handbook on how they deal with people from polygamy who want to join the Mormon church, and it is not a fun trip, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah, I think because it was such a short time, and my belief in that blessing, I think that they just said, well, enough's enough.
And
so
you said in your letter that there were two steps that led you to begin investigating biblical Christianity. Would you explain what those steps are? Because now you're back in the Mormon church.
Right.
But now you're a biblical Christian. You're not a member of the church anymore. Right? So something led you to discover biblical Christianity.
Right. And, yeah, those two things would be, one, an internal conflict, like I was saying. I didn't get my questions answered, you know, and so I had this conflict going. Also, my wife at this point she hadn't believed in the LDS faith for a long period of time.
Did you know that?
I did, but it came actually to a head. I was actually told by LDS leader in no uncertain terms that I should, because she didn't believe in Joseph Smith at this point, that I should move on and find a wife that does. And we actually...
So much for families are forever.
Yeah. Only believing families. So,
but
evidently.
Split up your family, right? Break up the family. Oh, brother. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. I don't want to go any further.
Yeah, so at any rate, we actually separated. This was the conflict going on in my head. I'm trying to choose God over my family, my wife.
Yeah. And would God make you make that decision?
No.
No, he wouldn't, would he?
No. But at the time, that was really baffling me. She called me up, and we'd been separated for a couple weeks, and she called me up and says, "This is stupid. I'll go to church." And so we went to church, and we were there. I mean, we were not even getting started. They were just doing the opening hymn, and she's just shaking and getting sick. And so she's like, "I have to leave." And so I left with her, and I realized that this isn't worth it. I'll just put all this garbage on the back burner, and my marriage is more important.
Good for you.
So right about that time, I'm still gung-ho LDS, though, but I had the thought to go back and study the early teachings that I had been studying. I'd seen a lot. So I was told to go to UTLM. Actually, Stefan had left the LDS faith just before I did, and he told me to go to UTLM.org and Utah Lighthouse Ministry. And I did, and I'm reading through the stuff, and I had seen most of it.
Yeah.
So I'm reading through, and I'm like, yeah, but. And I'm doing the whole workaround.
Uh-huh.
And I get to the section on blood atonement, which is never taught over the pulpit in the LDS faith.
Right.
It was taught in the polygamist arena.
Mm-hmm. It was taught in the polygamist arena because it was taught in the early Mormon church.
Right. Right. Yeah. This was so. That just didn't sit well with me. I've explained it to family as like a knife just cutting me.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense that Jesus Christ wasn't enough to atone for my sins or anybody's if we did certain sins. It made no sense.
Yeah.
So
something was going on in your heart and in your head as you started into Utah Lighthouse Ministry and comparing these scriptures. What biblical passage or passages impacted you the most as you began your journey to biblical truths and accepting them as being truth?
There's a lot of them, but you know, just as simple as Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that you know, we're saved by grace and not by works. And then, you know, James 2, 26, where, you know, would be the rebuttal from the LDS side that that faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
I finally understood how they complement each other,
yes,
not contradict.
Right. That's exactly right. In fact, Ephesians 3:10 or 2:10 says, we're saved to do good works, and that is James 2:17.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just makes sense together.
It just together. Fits together,
yeah. Right. Where it, I was always taught, well, no, it says right here, but it says over here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God doesn't contradict himself.
That's right.
And,
absolutely.
And so when I understood that, it's just, it took a huge weight off me, you know. So,
are there any other scriptures that you would like to share with our viewers of your in your journey to deciding that the Bible and Christianity was what you wanted and what is the truth rather than the LDS or the fundamentalist?
Yeah, you know, it kind of sums it up the most. The Romans Road.
Go ahead. Some people may know that. Do your nose.
I have it memorized in the NIV, but not in the King James.
So that's fine.
I haven't read the King James for a while, but I felt it important for this show to do that. Mm-hmm. So the first one would be Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So it's eternal life is a gift.
It's a gift, yeah. It's not a work. It's not an ordinance. It's a gift from God.
And it's through Jesus Christ, not through the LDS Church.
That's what it says in the Bible.
And yet, so there's no true church then. It's Jesus Christ without the church.
That's what I would, yes.
Yes. Right, go ahead.
Amen. and then if we go to Romans 5:8, but God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we didn't have to become righteous and then he just picked us up the rest of the way.
Right.
He died for us while we were yet in our sins.
Mm-hmm. So, he knew all of our sins, past, present, and future, and he still died for us. Now that's the miracle.
Right. So, yeah, that's for God so loved this, you know, his son, or for love the world, they sent his only begotten son. That's huge. I can understand the impact or the meaning of that scripture more than when I read it as LDS. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, it just kind of wraps it up. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
So it's a head and a heart.
Yeah. So
a cooperation in believing what Jesus tells us in the Bible.
Right.
It's not a feeling.
It's not a feeling. If you go through those scriptures, we're all sinners. We're destined to death, eternal death, because we're sinners. But God loved us and sent his son. And if we just believe in him and give our lives to him, that's what saves us. It's not works. It's not ordinances. It's none of those things.
In fact, the Bible tells us that we cannot do anything to bring righteousness to ourselves, to make ourselves righteous.
Right.
We actually have to be given the gift of righteousness in order to please God. So all of our works are useless anyway because we cannot make ourselves righteous.
Right. I think it says like filthy rags.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, so. In Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, now the, I don't know how you dealt with this, but in The Miracle of Forgiveness, Spencer W. Kimball made a remark that I wondered if this bothered you at all when you came back to the LDS Church. He said on page 169, even though sin be abandoned and forgiven, careless or deliberate action can bring it back. So now Jesus, didn't he die for all of our sins?
Yeah.
For all, he washes them
away. According
to
the Bible.
According to the Bible, he washes them away. But the LDS Church teaches that if you're forgiven, they can all come back on you. Did you know that? Were you taught that? And did you have that burden when
absolutely.
You came back?
Well, it never left. I mean, I've had that burden since I was old enough to learn that, yeah.
And so if you were forgiven of a lie last week and you lied this week, all your lies would come back and you'd never really truly forgiven under that.
Right.
That
exactly.
thinking never could be. Well, that's that's sad. So you wrote a letter to your Mormon family explaining the reasons that you left Mormonism. You said, I would like to share some LDS quotes that God used to open my eyes. And so you have some quotes tonight from the early Mormon scriptures or from the Bible that you were referring to when you wrote this letter to your family?
Yeah, most of the quotes actually come out of Journal of Discourses or early periodicals, but mm-hmm. they all come from leaders of the church.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to share a couple of them with us, and then we'll take a mid break?
Sure. One of them was in, is in the LDS Church Newsweek, June 20th, just back in 1998. And it says, "In bearing testimony of Jesus Christ, President Hinckley spoke of those outside the church who say Latter-day Saints do not believe in the traditional Christ. No, I don't. The traditional Christ of whom they speak is not the Christ of whom I speak. For the Christ of whom I speak has been revealed in this, the dispensation of the fullness of times. He, together with his father, appeared to the boy Joseph Smith in the year 1820. And when Joseph left the grove that day, he knew more of the nature of God than all of the learned ministers of the gospel of the ages."
So President Hinckley believed in a different Jesus. He said so right there. He admitted that he believed. And if he believed in a different Jesus, he represents the entire Mormon church.
Right.
And I know that the polygamists also believe in the same Jesus as the Mormons do. We were taught the same Jesus, and it's all a different Jesus. But the Bible has something to say about a different Jesus, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And it says I don't have it memorized, but if any person teaches another gospel or another Jesus, then he's a false prophet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it's time to start open the telephone calls. Open the phone lines for phone calls. First of all, I would like to mention again that KTMW TV20 does provide a lot of free Christian programming throughout each week, and this free programming can be kind of expensive to them. So if you enjoy and appreciate the broadcasts that they are doing, and if God nudges you to participate in this TV20 ministry, you can send a donation directly to them. You can send it to KTMW TV20, 314 South Redwood Road, Salt Lake City, 84104. And as you can imagine, broadcasting true Christianity in this culture can have some extremely interesting challenges. And so your prayers, your encouragement, and notes of appreciation, I'm sure, would also be a great blessing to the management. So our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. And as we wait for the calls to be ready, we do have a message for you that we would like to share.
You are watching Polygamy, What Love Is This? Broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah. This program is the broadcast outreach of A Shield and Refuge Ministry. Shield and Refuge is a point of first contact for Mormon fundamentalists who question the doctrines of the religion or who are actively seeking for an opportunity to escape the polygamist lifestyle. Examining the claims of fundamentalist doctrine against the backdrop of biblical truth is central to our efforts. We invite you to contact us. Call toll-free at 877-425-9993 or email us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. You are welcome to join us in our monthly support group, Life After Polygamy, where you can meet others like yourself who are searching for answers about polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism. We meet monthly in the Salt Lake City area. For more details about time and place, call us toll-free at 877-425-9993 or email us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. We want you to know that we have made available to you some outstanding resources free of charge. You will find them at our website, www.whatloveisthis.tv. There you will find the DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, which documents the real-life stories told firsthand of those who were lifted out of the culture of polygamy through the power and love of Jesus Christ. Also, free of charge to you is the booklet, Is Polygamy Biblical? It explores plural marriage in the context of God's Word and answers questions like, did God ever command polygamy? Is it part of God's plan? While you are at our website, make sure to take advantage of the archived episodes of this program, which can stream on demand directly to your computer. There are more than 100 shows to choose from. And if someone you know is unable to view this program via live broadcast, Recommend that they visit this same website every Thursday at 8 p.m. Mountain Time to watch this show through live streaming video. Simply follow the links to the live streaming video page. If you are watching live tonight, we invite you to call us as we open our phone lines. The number is 801-973-TV20. That's 801-973-8820. Now, back to Polygamy, What Love Is This? With our host, Doris Hansen.
Welcome back. We are with our guest tonight. Tom Johnson is telling his story about coming from the Mormon Church to the polygamist group and then back to the LDS Church and then seeking the truth from the Bible and turning to biblical Christianity. If you have any questions or comments that you would like to make regarding what we're talking about tonight, please call 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. We do have an off-the-air question. It says, how does the LDS Church reconcile the Doctrine and Covenants and the Book of Mormon concerning polygamy? Do you have anything you'd like to say about that?
I always had that question myself. I was always told that at the time that Joseph Smith wrote the Book of Mormon, that doctrine wasn't given to him yet. And it was kind of a progression as Joseph became more righteous, that God gave him more revelations, and so it wasn't, to them it's not a conflict, but...
Any contradiction is a conflict though, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it's from the same person, I mean, I can say something that contradicts you, and that's not unusual, but if I say something to contradict myself, then that's kind of odd.
Yeah, it is.
Especially if it's from God.
But there's a lot of those contradictions, and you just kind of, at the time I was LDS, I just had to put them in on a shelf or, you know, in the back of my mind. You're told not to dwell on them.
Right, so. Right. Yeah, because you can't come up with the answers, and they don't give answers either. That's why they say put them on the back shelf or keep praying, pray more. I'd like to mention that during our break, the support group was mentioned. Our next support group for the polygamy, Life After Polygamy, is a week from next Monday. That's August 29th, I believe. And so if you're from a polygamy group and you'd like to join our support group, we'd love to have you. Just give us a call and we'd be happy to give you the details. Now, you had mentioned that you had written a letter to your family. And I'm going to quote another paragraph that you said in your letter. You said, according to the Bible, if a proclaimed prophet gives even one prophecy that doesn't come to pass, or he teaches of another Christ than what is explained there, then he's a false prophet. Now, Gordon Hinckley said there was a different Christ. We've got that proof right there.
Right.
Now that you have seen evidence for yourself, you have two options. What were those two options?
Well, I'll just read it verbatim. I have it here. I said, you can dismiss this letter and continue trusting in man and your feelings, or you can verify the quotes, which I gave about 16 or 17 in the letter, which we didn't have time to go
over
those tonight.
Well, we'll get to some of those. Yeah.
But you say you can verify the quotes and compare them to God's Word, which is the Holy Bible. Pray to your Lord and Savior to know what the truth is and surrender yourself to Him.
Mm-hmm. So we don't go, the Book of Mormon recommends that we take the Book of Mormon and then pray to see if this is true.
Right.
But that's not the way we find truth.
Right.
No. We Jesus said God's Word is truth. And so we ask God to reveal truth to us. We don't say, I want to pray that this is true. If it's a lie, you're praying to know that a lie is true, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So did your family take your advice?
No. And the fact that, did they study the quotes and did they look them up? No. Now, some of my family, through Christ working through me, have come to the truth. But it wasn't from looking at those quotes. Mm-hmm. But the ones who are still in Mormonism, no. It didn't do any good.
Well, you never know. You never know. Do you have a good relationship with your family, even though you're still in the other side of the fence with the belief?
Yeah, actually, I do.
Good.
We love each other a lot. The only thing that's really changed is the conversations have gone way shallow. We can't talk about religion whatsoever, which is sad.
Yeah.
And it may be because I hit them with too many facts too hard. Maybe I should have had more grace. You know, I don't know. But
well, we just have to trust God to work through those issues. And you did. You did what you wanted, what you needed to do, and that was tell them what you had discovered. You know what they believe, so now they should know what you believe. There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. True. We have a call coming in now from Wyoming. So we'll take the call from Julie in Wyoming. Hello, Julie. Julie?
Hello?
Yes, Julie, you're on the air.
Good, how are you?
Well, we're doing fine, thank you. What's your question?
I have so much in common with your guest this evening. And his wife. When I went to church after I pretty much came to the conclusion that I no longer believed in the Mormon church, I could barely go through church and sit there and listen to what was going on and would get sick and would have to leave.
Mm.
My question is, now that I've been broken away from the Mormon church now for about 8 years, I feel so relieved, and I do a lot of studying, meditation, and prayer, but I just even have a hard time opening up the Bible because I just feel so deceived with the whole Mormon religion. I don't want really anything to do with religion at all. And I'm just a little confused about the Bible because I look so much at the Book of Mormon and how it was written by Joseph Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like the Bible is composed of a bunch of opinions of people from that day. Hmm. So I was just wondering what your suggestion would be. And,
okay, we've got some suggestions. You can bet on that. We'd be love to help you. Do you want to start out?
Yeah. First of all, I would say that the answer is not in religion. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we need to be part of a sect or religion. It says we need to be part of Christ's body. So all believers are in that body. So to be able to trust the Bible, I guess I was lucky in the fact that when I left Mormonism, I found solace in the Bible. I don't know why. I mean, it's frustrating to me that, you know, 8 years later you're where you're at. But I would say that you can actually prove the Bible is true.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of resources that can help you, show you how to prove it, because we're told in there to prove all things and
yes.
to hold fast to that which is good. So you're not taking anybody's word for it. Just pray to God and read the Bible.
And Julie, I'd like to mention, when I left the polygamy group, I was like you. I didn't want to have anything to do with religion. I'd been lied to. I'd been abused and misused and mistreated, and all in the name of God. And so I didn't want to have anything to do with God. It took 25 years for me, not 8 years like you're at. But I finally, through a series of events, opened up the Bible and started reading it. And one of the verses I first came onto was Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. And that verse says that the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Mm. And that hit me so strong. I knew at that moment that God had written his word not to be corrupted like the Mormons taught, like Joseph Smith taught, but to stand forever. Right. And I knew I could trust anything I wrote in it. You can go to John 17 where Jesus is praying and he says that, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You can trust his word. And Jesus said in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So you can trust it. And another thing that I would suggest you do is get another Bible besides King James. So there's an NIV, there's an ESV, then there's a New American Standard, the New King James. All of those versions are good, solid translations, translated from the original languages, not translated from translations. And try reading the Bible from that. And then do as Tom suggested and just pray and say, God, I want the truth no matter what it is. You're going to find a relationship, not a religion. And you will wonder then why you waited so long. And if you want some help, please give me a call or email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com. I'd love to help you however I can. Does that help you?
It does. And I just want to say that I feel good at the level that I am at right now.
Uh-huh.
And in talking to people of various studies of, I guess you would call it studying the Bible, there's so many different opinions,
mm-hmm.
and it leads to, believe me, that everyone interprets the Bible and the scriptures in their own way.
But why don't you give God a chance? Give him a chance to speak to you. And you'll do that. You can do that if you'll go to the Bible and say, God, speak to me through your word.
Well, I appreciate it, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you. Give us a call. Thanks. Give me a call or email me if you would, if you'd like to talk further. I'd love to talk with you.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Good night. Off-the-air comment. The guest tonight is great, very believable, and understandable. Praise God. Okay, line one, Laura from Salt Lake City. Hello, Laura. Okay. Laura. Hello.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yes, what's your question?
Okay. I used to be a friend of Tom's. I dated his brother Gary when I was part of the group in Arizona.
What part of the group? Go ahead, talk.
Hi, Laura.
Anyway, I wanted to call and comment... main reason I left is I had the question in my mind that there's so many good people out there, so many millions of good people out there, and I really struggled with the fact that only the select few was going to make it who was going to live polygamy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I really struggled with that.
Mm.
And it took me living it for a couple of months to really come to the conclusion that it wasn't for me. And like my mom, she's one of the best people I've ever met, and she left polygamy years ago. And I would ask the people in Arizona, I'd say, how is that fair that my mom, this great person, isn't going to make it because she, quote, broke her covenants?
Did you know that any covenant that we make outside of the truth of Jesus Christ, they're not binding? There's no binding. God holds you not responsible for any covenant that's made outside of the truth of Jesus Christ.
Right. And, you know, even though they feel like I broke my covenants, I honestly don't feel like I had any, I made any, just because
they
I don't
valid.
Believe that way anymore.
They
and
were
so
valid.
I don't feel like I'm in trouble with God.
Mm-mm.
Or Jesus, you know?
Not at all. Not at all.
You're not.
Well, I mean, I know that Christ forgave me the second I asked for forgiveness, and it's just, I'm more happier now than ever.
Good. Good.
Awesome. Well, good to hear from you, Laura. We'll have to talk further.
Yeah, really. Nice to see you.
That's awesome.
Nice well, thanks for calling.
All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
And congratulations for getting out of the group. Okay, line three, we have Kristen calling. Hello, Kristen.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, well, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I don't know if they prefaced my question or at least my point a little bit beforehand, but it's in relation to the quote that you guys mentioned about President Hinckley talking about Christ and how the belief of Christ is different. Mm-hmm. And I guess my comment is really how it's funny how I think a lot of what can be said in regards to religion is left up to personal interpretation, because even though I don't subscribe to any personal religion, I took that quote as being completely, completely different in the respect that I think that what they're saying is that, or what President Hinckley was saying, was that the Christ that they believe in is, it's the same Christ. Christ is...
He said different, ma'am. He said different Jesus, not the same. He said different. What does the word different mean?
Yeah, he said that he does not believe in the traditional Christ. And I think what they mean by that is that there is one Christ, but that...
Jesus said there would be false Christs. So obviously there's more than one.
No, this I think it's...
Wait a minute. Jesus said there would be false Christs.
I don't think that's what they mean by that. And maybe...
What does false mean?
I read it as that... It's kind of the way you would interpret if you knew a person. If there was a person that, say you knew President Obama, for example, and one person says, you know, I know that person differently than somebody else because of the way he has been revealed.
That is not, no, we'll let him read that again, because there's no way that you can interpret it that way. It just isn't the way that can be interpreted. Do you want to say that again?
I don't know. Read it again.
Yeah, I'll read it. Okay.
I view it completely differently.
It says, President Hinckley spoke of those outside the church who would say Latter-day Saints do not believe in the traditional Christ. No, I don't. The traditional Christ of whom they speak is not the Christ of whom I speak. For the Christ of whom I speak has been revealed in this dispensation of the fullness of times. The Christ I know was revealed back when he lived on his earth and died.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he was right. Revealed, not in 1820.
Right.
Well, and that's what they believe. I think that's just the nature of what they believe. They
well, it is, but that, well, it's
Christ
false.
Christ has always been.
That's the whole point. They believe
we
that,
know
and it's
more
false.
Is what they might say. We know more about Christ. We know him more intimately.
But they can't know more about Christ than Jesus himself. You know, Jesus...
Prophet.
Jesus revealed himself,
Christ.
Kristen, and he knows more about himself than the LDS Church will ever know about Jesus. So they can't come up with something new about him. We've got other calls coming in, and I appreciate your viewpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I just think it's interesting how it can be, depends on personal interpretation.
Well, that
sure does.
Well, in reality, it can't. words mean something.
You can believe what you want.
You can believe what you want, but... Okay, Travis from Sandy. Hello, Travis. Travis.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Doris, for taking my phone call. I have a quick comment and a question. The comment is, Tom, fantastic job.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you. You're doing a great job. And my question is, if Tom could elaborate more on his comment of he saw his family coming to Christ because of Christ's what he was doing in his life, if you could just kind of share more on that.
Yeah, I'd love to.
You've got 2 minutes.
My immediate family pretty much has all come to Christ as far as the family I raised. My wife and my 3 daughters, in fact, they're all here in the studio tonight, have all come to Christ and left Mormonism. As I mentioned, my older brother over the phone, I prayed with him and he came to Christ. And so, yeah, it's God's word and truth is definitely working.
Well, thank you again, Tom. You're doing a fantastic job. I'm proud of you.
Thank
and
you.
Do you know who this is?
I do.
Okay, I wondered if you knew him.
That's my pastor.
God bless your family there. Tell them I said hi.
Thanks, Travis. Love you, bud.
All right, well, love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. Well, we're getting down to just less than a minute now.
Okay.
before with the closing comments. So if you have 40 seconds that you can say something to tonight to our polygamous viewers or our Mormon viewers that are watching, take 30 seconds or more.
Okay. There is truth. Okay. And it just as there's gravity, there's truth. And you can believe it, like I said, or not. When I wrestled with this, what it kept coming back to is there has to be a God. So if there has to be a God, there has to be a way to prove it. And I couldn't find any religions that could prove it. But the Bible does prove it. So if I could just say anything, the gospel is fully in the Bible.
In the Bible and nowhere else. Well, thank you for coming tonight.
Thanks for having me.
It was
awesome.
For all your friends who called. And my closing comments tonight are from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, where it tells us that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men and shows us that God has done everything for our eternal life. All we are required to do is believe it and receive it. God repeatedly says that eternal life is a gift and that a gift is never worked for and is never earned. It's a gift. Grace, not works, brings us eternal life. And those who reject that are proving that they are not true Christians. Christianity is one, the faith that believes God's word, the Bible. Two, knowing the work for eternal life has been done for us by Jesus Christ. Three, knowing that it's fully and completely done and Jesus doesn't meet us partway or halfway. And four, it is finished. John 19:30, paid in full. There's nothing you can do to save you. There's nothing you can do to save someone else. There is no human work, no human idea, no human building, no human doctrine, no human religion, no human wish, no human ritual, no promise, covenant, marriage, baptism, temple, or anything else that has anything to do with the salvation of humans. Jesus is the Savior, and He told His disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, that salvation is impossible with man, but with God all things are possible. His death on the cross purchased our eternal life and purchased our righteousness. His death on the cross paid for all our sins, so that hell, death, and the devil are fully defeated when we put our faith in Him alone for eternal life. Our works are useless, and they are powerless to save us. Polygamy is not your salvation. Celestial marriage is not your salvation. God saves people only one way, and Jesus alone is that way, and you don't get to make up your own way. If anything else could add to it, then you've got the wrong Savior. So turn to Him and throw out everything else, because He's the only way. Good night.
Amen.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org. Or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.